12. None of you guys can do it. It's my privilege. I have to be able, I can determine or I can set aside 3 hours during a workday just to spend time with God. And this Thursday was just so amazing. On my own, and I worshiped God, I read the Word, and it was one of those days you read a scripture like, whoa, I've never read this, and you cross-reference, whoa, I've never read this, and you go again, no, I've never read this. But that is our God. And He wants to wake us up in our spirit man. He wants to wake us up in our spirit man. He wants to wake us up in our spirit man. And what I'm seeing now is just all of you are running around in town, just being so full of joy. People think, wow, he's so mad. So mad, these wild people. But then the presence of God is just with you. You live with integrity. You have a character. There's a scripture there at the back, and while we're worshiping, was reminded of that. It says, King David, when he was confronted by his wife for dancing too wild in front of the ark in God's presence. I just imagine him looking at her being like, I will be even more undignified than this. I will be even more undignified than this. So just put your hand on your heart. And some of you, your hearts over here, to say, heart, I command you to be like a child. Amen. Great. Wow. You guys are so childish. Childlike. Okay. I'm going to do a very short sermon on money. Okay. Let's look at that first scripture. We're doing generosity. Just listen to this Oxford Dictionary definition of what generosity means. Showing a readiness to give more of something. So I'd love for us to be that. We're always ready just to give more. Hey, you want 2 rand? Hey, 10 rand. Hey, you want 1 hour's work? I'll give you 2 hours' work. And I must honor Kathy for that day. Kathy, I asked her to volunteer and help me out with some design. And it felt like I paid her 10,000 rand for the job she did. That's how professional she did a volunteer's job. And that's how you want to, how your attitude needs to be in the kingdom of God. Somebody gives you a small thing, you just need to wash the cups or whatever. You go beyond that because you're ready to give more than what is expected. And then it says, especially money, than is strictly necessary or expected. To give more of something than is strictly necessary or expected. So let's look at that first scripture. I want you to just discuss this with the person sitting next to you. What does this say about money, and what does this not say about money? Okay, so the question is, what does it say about money, and what does it not say about money? There's actually a clue in the second question where I want to go to. Okay, praat. As jy nie iemand het, jy moet iemand kry.
Thank you.
Okay. You all are clever, so exam time is up. What's the answer? Anushka, what's your answer?
Sorry, ek het nou net nie meer dit nie.
Okay, great. She's saying that love of money leads to us idolizing money, and we shouldn't have any idols. There shouldn't be no other gods except for God. Okay? Any other? Money can't bring faith. Okay? Wow, yeah, man. Can you put that into the two on your right bicep? I think it'd be great. Just put that answer in it, the two on your right bicep. Eh? Okay, great. Yeah. Okay, anyone else? That was so good, but you can still more to say about this scripture. Scripture is so profound. Okay. So it says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money is the root. Not money itself. Money is neutral. Okay, so that's a very important thing. Money is neutral. Okay. Now the second scripture, look at this. Proverbs 13:22. The wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. So now in the first scripture, it's like, money is the root of all evil. Don't allow it to come too close to you. Or don't love it too much because you'll be deceived by it. But then in this, it's talking about there's a place where we can position ourselves that somebody else's money will come to us because of our righteous relationship with God. So the first scripture says, in a way, it feels like it's saying, stay away from money, from the love of money. But the second scripture says, hey, you know what? I'm not only going to give you your own money, I'm going to give you somebody else's money. If you're in a right relationship with God. The wealth of the sinner, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. It's like, and you see it very, like people getting money from the lotto, gambling, and then they pursue God's kingdom with that money. Spoke to a guy over in this week. He says, hey, we get so much money from the lotto, and it gives me so much pleasure to use the wealth that I get from, it's this gambling, it's lotto, and I just pursue the kingdom with every cent of that. My dad had we still have a house in Betty's Bay, and then they found out there are 1,500 kgs of abalone, perlemoon, at our house. The people who rented, they were actually poachers. So all of us children were like, wow, this is actually amazing. The poachers are funding my dad, because my dad's in the ministry. I'm funding my dad's ministry. How cool is that? The wealth of the wicked is stored up, and they, like I spoke, my dad says, they're amazing. They're amazing. They keep the garden intact. They just pay their money on time. Obviously, because they don't want anybody to be suspicious of what they're doing. But that's, so, to only think of love of money as the root of all evil, it is to have a very small perspective on money. It can take you away from God. It can mislead you. And a lot of people get misled by money. But there's a place we need to enter into that money is actually, it plays a part in the kingdom of God. Listen to this, Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and it adds no sorrow with it. So here again it says, the blessing of the Lord. So it's actually a blessing to be, you get a blessing and you become rich. You know what? all of you, like Luke said, all of you are rich. If you have food on the table and running water, you are rich in this world. If you have more than two, if you have a flat screen TV at home, you are on the top 10%, 20% in this world. I don't know the stats, but you're very rich. Okay, so it was by the blessing of the Lord that we came to this place. By the blessing of the Lord, and it adds no sorrow. So you can flip the scripture around and you can say, some people without the blessing of the Lord, they make lots of money, but then sorrow gets added. And in Afrikaans, hartseer. Lots of money, but divorce. Lots of money, no relationships. Lots of money, but don't feel at all at peace with anything. You get so many people like that. But it says the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no money. Okay. Ach, no. No, no, no. No sorrow. Yes, that one. Deuteronomy 8:28. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. How great is that, eh? God says it's the Lord that gives us power. So He actually gives, He provides us with the ability to gain wealth that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers as it is this day. So it's part of God's relations. Covenant, when you hear the word covenant, it speaks of the ultimate relationship. And it's a relationship where God, that God instituted. So if you think of the marriage covenant, God instituted marriage. God makes the covenant between man and husband and wife. The same with, if you think of covenant, God says, because of my covenant, I've given you the ability to gain wealth. I've given you the ability to become rich, to have stuff. I'm going to look at, why do you have stuff? All of us have stuff. All of us have clothes on here. Yes, all of us, none of us are naked. We have, so God has given us that ability, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Money is not bad. It's the love of money. It's a demonic love of money that's bad. Okay. Listen to Richard Branson. He doesn't even know Jesus. He's an atheist. He says, if you get into business solely to make money, you won't. If you try to make a real difference, you'll find success. And in my heart, I feel God has allowed Richard Branson to tap into one of his kingdom principles, in that if your focus is going to be making a difference, in other words, providing for somebody else, in other words, caring about people, caring not about only your own financial situation, but about others, you'll actually be able to make success, to gain significance. So how do we bring our financial situation under the Lordship of Jesus? How do we bring our financial situation, our relationship with money, under the Lordship of Jesus? Because that's what we prayed tonight. We said, God, you're my everything. God, I'm going to give you everything. We did some scary stuff tonight. We prayed for Fanny's cheekbone and everything. That's scary. But the scariest thing that we did tonight was saying, God, I'm going to give everything. So what we've done is, like, we don't have any rights anymore. We don't have a right to live ourselves anymore. We don't have a right to be entitled to more of whatever we feel we need. Because we said, God, you are everything. Whatever you give me, and we read from God's word what our inheritance is. And it's amazing. But we don't have a right, an entitlement to that. Because we said, God, you have, you take everything. So what would it look like if Jesus was given the opportunity to rule over all finances? Let's discuss that quickly with the person sitting next to you. What would it look like if Jesus was given the opportunity to rule over all finances? In other words, Jesus, he was the economic chief of this world. And all money, all decisions regarding money had to flow through him. What would it look like? Would there be poverty? Would there be flat screens, Bentleys, Rolls Royces? I think it would be. Okay, let's get a couple on. What would it look like? Okay, Leoni, what's it like? Who's it like? What's the way? What does that mean? You did something like, yes. Okay. What would it look like? If Jesus was given the opportunity to be the chief financial officer of this world, what would the financial economic situation of the world look like? No poverty, okay, great. No? No corruption, yes, good one. No? Crime. No. Crime. Okay, money laundering. Yes, great. Okay, and you're too clever. You're getting to my next point. Okay. Okay, so how do we get Jesus? How do we get Jesus to that place, to the throne over our finances as individuals and our finances as a community? How do we get to that place? Okay, you give more than your tithe. That's what Fanny says. You ask God how much you need to pay. How do you do His will? Okay, great. So, in order for us to do that adventurous exercise at the end, I need to go quickly. Don't go abalone fishing, yes. Okay, don't poach. So, do you all know that scripture? It says that God has given dominion, and it's Genesis, and also in Psalms, it says that we are given authority for the world, the earth, is ours. It's for us to rule over the earth. Because that was God's choice in the beginning. He said, Adam and Eve, I've given you dominion over the earth. So that means everything in this world, because in the moment, not Jesus is ruling finances, but men. And men with not the right attitudes, but with completely different agendas than what Jesus would have had if he was ruling our finances. So God gave us dominion. So how do we claim that dominion back in terms of the financial realm sector of this world? There's a word that I'm looking for. It's called stewardship. It's called stewardship. All of you know the parable of the talents? So the one gets five, and it's actually talents. It's not a gifting that you have. It's actually money. So the one got five, the other one got two, and the last one got one. So the one who got five, he used it, and then he got five more. And then the king came back and he said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in the little. I will give you even more than that. So what he was, and the thing is, the point that Jesus was making, he said, I'm going to give you something, Francois. I'm going to give you something, Mark. I'm going to give you something, Henry. And because we work in a world, money makes the world go around, and that is true. Because everything you can, money can buy. We can buy stuff with money. We can buy our food, buy clothes with money. So Jesus is making a point. He says, I'm going to give you something. And as a Christian, I want you to be good stewards of even your financial resources. So whether you have 5 rand or 10 billion, I want you to be a good steward. And if you're going to be a good steward, then my lordship, I will be the Lord over your financial situation, and I will give you even more than just you tapping into the principle, well, I have 5 talents, I've worked hard, and I have 10. And that's where the world can own. That's where they will arrive, at the 10. They will be good stewards, they will be wise with their money, they will invest well, they will know the principles of investment, but then they will end at 10. But God says, if you make me the Lord of your finances, then I'm not going to stop at 10. 10 is amazing because you've tapped into that principle of being wise with you, not living in debt. Just don't go into debt. Don't create accounts at every single outlet store that you can. Don't do it. It's wrong. It's stupid. So now you have 10 and God's coming back. He says, wow, not only are you a Christian and you're praising Jesus, you're going to Shofar George and you're amazing, but you're actually a good steward of the resources I've given you. So now you have 10. And then Jesus says those magic words. He says, you were faithful with little. Therefore, I can trust you with even more. Then he will add more. And the world will never get to that place because they don't submit to the Lord. They only get to the place of the 10. And if we, as Christians, if we get to the 10, we're going to say, well, okay, now I'm going to spend everything. We need to say, okay, God, I want you to be Lord of this. I want you to be Lord. I want to be a good steward of this. Listen to this. Proverbs 3, 10, 9 and 10. It gives us an idea on how to do it. Honor the Lord with your wealth. You know it? Just like we sing songs and we praise Jesus and we pray for people and God's honored by that, you can honor God by your money. You can honor God with your money. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your fats will be bursting with wine. It's just, it's simple. You can get to the 10, but if you want more than the 10, just submit everything to me and I'll give you even more than that. I will let your barn overflow. And it speaks of overflowing life in every area of life. But if we talk about money, if you steward that well and you say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my finances. And we're going to look at just the principles that the Bible explains on how to do it. You're the Lord of my life and Lord of my finances. Then God will add. He will add. And He will make you and give you influence to have influence for God's kingdom. Because that's where we want to get to. We want to disciple nations. That's a good one. Okay, so Raj, you get India, obviously. Celine, great Thailand. Thailand. Okay, Mauritius. Over here, Jama, you get Mauritius. Cinder, Madagascar. Madagascar. Okay. God has called us, but we need finances to do that. Because we need to supply, and then we need to get down to where people are at. We need plane tickets. We need to build houses. We need to build infrastructure. But we're going to need finances, and we need to steward our finances well so that God can bring the increase. And no sorrow, no divorces, no broken relationships. We don't want that. We want the increase without the sorrow. There's a guy in our church, every January, he doesn't want me to say his name, but every January he takes his whole salary and then just he sows it into the kingdom. He gives his tithe and then the rest he gives to whoever God leads him to. And this year, he looked at his budget and thought, okay, his wife's not working. Oh, man, it's going to be really difficult. But he decided to do it, and he still did it. And he got four times more. Was it four times? Four times. Somebody deposited into his account four times more than his salary. Quadrupled his salary. He says he didn't tell anybody. He just did it. Because he understand this principle of sowing his first fruit. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. I don't know if I have the faith to do that. But that's just so amazing. What did he do? He said, well, God, I know that I can invest and I can be clever with my money and I can end up with a 10. But I want even more than that. I'm going to submit everything to you. Okay, so let's look at a scripture. Okay, Malachi 3, 8 to 12. Last book of the Old Testament. It's easy to get. Some people call it the Italian prophet Malachi. Malachi 3, 8 to 10. It says, will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. Sure. God, but you say, how have we robbed you in your tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need, I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Okay, so let's read it from a different angle. Okay, so just forget that I've said anything about tithes and offerings, about you robbing God or whatever. Okay, just listen to this. So you open your Bible and you start reading. And you read this. Put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there's no more need, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. If you open your Bible and you start reading from there, and you read that blessing, I'm going to go like, God, just give me the test. Just give me the test. What is this thing? How can I tap into this? Open the heavens. God himself opening the heavens like, the reins is in jaws. He yelled, man, it's just, and then I will rebuke the devourer. So I will rebuke the devil. You don't have to go like, devil, I rebuke you. It's like God himself will rebuke the devil. And he will provide through that. And what is the test? The test is this. To be a good steward of your finances. And he says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. What is the storehouse? It's the local church. It's where you submit yourself under. It is, in this case, Shofar George. If you're going to go, most of you are going to leave. I promise you, you're going to bless the pastor where you're going. Go into his church, and if God leads you to be planted in that house, get yourself planted, because it's great to be part of a local church, whether you're in some random place somewhere or wherever. You just go into and you say, Pastor, give me the bank. I want to succeed, get 100% for that test. Because I want the devil to be rebuked by my God. I want the heavens to open in my financial situation in this place. And then it has two concepts. It says, in your tithes and offerings. Okay, and we'll get to offerings later. Rick Joyner says, I have not yet met a single Christian who is faithful to tithe and has chronic financial problems. The tithe is the rent payment for living on his planet, Rick Joyner said. Bill Johnson said, this is not a vision for the blessing of the church, but for the blessing of the city, nation, and world. And then some people say Jesus never spoke about the tithe, but Luke 11:42, it says this, but woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others, without neglecting to do the tithe. So it says, yes, tithing is not the most important thing. If you love God and love people, that is the most important thing. Through Jesus, that's how you get saved. You don't get saved by tithing. You can't buy shares in the church and therefore you have a mansion one day in heaven. It's not about that. But it's about bringing the lordship of Jesus over your financial situation so that God himself can open up the heavens and he can rebuke the devourer. And the reason why I'm so confident in sharing this message, because I'm going to directly be a beneficiary of your tithes, and I am. In the way, I don't determine my salary. Our HQ, our head office in headquarters in Stellenbosch, they determine it. But my tithes get deducted from the money that people pay into our account. But the reason why I'm so confident, because there's no, for me, no shame in this, because I have children, and I was just thinking, wow, man, if I'm going to teach Eva any financial lesson, I want to start with this. I want to teach her to sow into the kingdom, and I'm going to teach her how to bring the lordship of Jesus over her finances. I'm going to teach her about the tithe, because that's what my dad taught me. That's what my grandfather taught me. And I can just see the blessing of the Lord on my finances. I can see the blessing of the Lord on everything I do, because there's a lordship thing happening. And I know it's so easy to get distracted by money. Last year, in the beginning of the year, at the end of the month, I'm like, wow, Cornel, ons het nogal goed gedoen hierdie maand. We did very well this month. And then I found out I didn't pay my tithe. But then, because I feel so strongly about it, I thought, wow, okay, but we can't not pay our tithe for the month. So I'm going to pay it over 3 months back, just because to pay two tithes at the end of a month, I don't know if you've ever done it, but it just destroys your budget. So I paid it back over 3 months just because I really believe in this principle of taking your tithe and take it to the storehouse. And we as pastors and shofar, we don't tithe. I don't tithe to this congregation. I tithe to our headquarters. Because it's just great to sow into something that you're not going to benefit from it. Okay. In Acts 2:45, the Holy Spirit came in its full glory. And the people started manifesting kingdom principles. And what they did is they didn't tithe. They sold everything. And they brought it to the apostles' feet. I'm going to start that doctrine, don't sell stuff and bring it to my... No, and that's not what I'm into. But that's where we need to be at. God, what is need? What does your kingdom need? Some of you need to get to a place where you can buy a house at Fancourt, because that people in Fancourt, they need Jesus. You know that. Some of us need to leave wherever you live and go live in a different culture, in a different place, because that's what God, the calling on your life. So it's not about where you live. Don't move out of Fancourt if you're in Fancourt. Just stay there. I know lots of people there, and they need Jesus. Tembuletu needs Jesus. NMU needs Jesus. George Wiss needs Jesus. Rosemore needs Jesus. Every place, every suburb needs Jesus. So it's not about, and it's not even about the car that you drive. Some of you need to drive a grand car. Others don't need, you don't have to drive a grand car. Some of you need to buy lots of grand cars, and then just the moment you get those keys in your hand, God's going to tell you, sow it. And then you just sow it again. And then God gives you another go, and you sow it again. And then it becomes such a fun game. You just sow it to everyone. And I know people like that. I know people. They just sow and it just comes back the whole time. Because what happens? The heaven opens every time they sow. The heaven just opens. So tithe is, it's into the storehouse, 10% of what you earn. Just give it. It's really such a blessing to know that you're covered by the best financial insurer that you can think of, and that's Jesus Christ. Like, people are so afraid of not having money when they retire. I'm not afraid of having, I don't have a retirement fund at the moment. I'm investing and I'm being clever. But I'm not afraid of that because I know I'm investing in heaven. I'm investing in heaven. It's so important. So that's the tithe, and then the offering is everything that you can add to that. Like, sometimes you need to sow like your old salary, like that guy's doing. That's bold to try and do it. I bet your God will come through for you. I'm not there yet, but that's what God does. He loves rewarding us. And then we want to help you with your offerings. We've just last year started this where we challenged the congregation to go beyond what their tithes and also bless ministries that we support and also ministries that we have in our midst with offerings. The one is JH. JH there at the back. He's a youth coach at Etoniqua, so we're partnering with his Amplified movement, and we place youth coaches at different schools, and JH is one of them. If you invest 1 rand in JH, you'll get 1 rand 50 for the kingdom of God. That's just how radical JH is. And then we were thinking, should we do this with the students? And Luke just said, yes. We all have something to give. Some people give 10 rand, some people give 5 rand. But if you want to invest, that's a great area to invest, to put your offering. I can't tell you where you put your offering into. And then we support Life Community. This year, we've given them 1,500 rand every month in terms of our food and stuff. We're gonna get that to 2,000 rand a month. Then we're gonna send to Sri Lanka, the pastor that we're meeting up in Sri Lanka, or the partner pastor, we're gonna send him to a pastor summit in India. So we need 10 grand for that. If you feel that's God, your heart's for missions, and then. We have a body serve account. Our budget is $4,000 a month. We give food vouchers. We buy, yeah, what was that like? Anyway, we sometimes we help with school fees, with accommodation, with whatever that's just needs in the church. Some people just don't have food on their table. And then that's a place where people can just deposit money into, and we use that money for it. It's called the body serve. Okay, great. But what I would love to challenge you is to start sowing into something that you feel you're called into. Like, tithe this local church wherever you're at, and then your offering is, try and sow into something that you feel you are called to. Like, if you feel that you're going to be a missionary in Thailand one day, just for example, then you find a mission organization that's really preaching the kingdom, that's preaching Jesus, and you sow into that. Or you just sow into the Sri Lankan pastor fund. Maybe you feel that you want to be a youth pastor one day. Then maybe you have a friend that's a youth pastor, but you don't have... You haven't received that calling yet. Somebody has not laid hands on you and sent you, but you want to go. So sow into that. So, hey friend, you're a youth pastor, man. And in the beginning, I was jealous of you because you've already received the call. But I'm going to sow into that. And if you feel like you just led maybe into sports ministry, get involved there and sow into that. That's part of our offering. You're just bringing an offering to God. Okay, great. So that's it. Who of you did this last week? Got this? How many still need to get this? Okay, het ons daar nog? God is nog, daar in die kantoor is nog eenetjie, denk ek. Okay, so we've given you, I think it's 22 challenges. Kathy is the designer. Amazing, Kathy. Did it for us for free. Amazing, Kathy. Again. Okay, so there it says, take a cross-cultural friend out for coffee. Take Kathy out for coffee. So she's so radical in what she does. She's cross-cultural for everyone. Okay, but there are 23 challenges, and it's a, the idea is to get you into a generosity mode, because that's how God operates. He doesn't think of, well, you need this, you need this. He says, okay, I'm going to give you something, and whatever you have, just give it away, and I'll give you more. That's part of stewardship. Okay, sometimes, yes, sometimes it's bread, sometimes it's seed to sow. But I challenge you to do at least 4 of these. Cornel and I went out for a coffee, and it was just amazing to tip the waiter, because one of the challenges is to tip the waiter 20%. So it was amazing to see her face when you write, okay, but you do a 20% tip. She's like, wow. It's part of God's heart. He says, hey, okay, so you need this. I'm going to give you this. Okay. Great. Let's stand. Who of you need to study in the next half an hour? Okay, you need to study in the next half an hour. Is it? Okay, Rose. Okay, you guys are excused. The others, you're not excused. We're going to do a fun exercise after this prayer, okay? Just pray this after me. Thank you, God, that you gave me everything so that I can have everything, so that I can again give everything away. God, I commit myself to giving, not only consuming, but to giving. God, I want to represent you as a generous God. Lord, I take my finances and I bring the lordship of Jesus over it. Thank you, God, that you will lead me to the principle of the tithe and the principle of offerings. I love you, God. Thank you. Amen. Okay. So, we're not going to do an altar call now. What I felt is God telling us is, I want us all to go to McDonald's and to sing a worship song in McDonald's. Okay? Who of you are keen for that? Okay. Henry, can you song gaan? Okay. So, okay, we need to, is there anything and we need to pack up, your Luke or something? Because we're not going to drink coffee, so it's going to be clean. Okay, so get into your car as quickly as possible. Whoever you're keen for that, okay? Pardon?